Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Thursday morning. We are presented by Green Ventures Landscaping for homes and businesses that want to stand out, not blend in. Visit greenventureslandscaping.com. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios. Visit Busy Bee HVAC at the Music City Home Expo event this Friday through Sunday, coming up the Fairgrounds Expo Center. We will have Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports for his weekly visit coming up to begin the 8 o'clock hour. We got the Rob Rant coming up later this hour and taking your thoughts on the NFL draft at 615-737-1025. Well, Mark just called in and asked us about, you know, whether or not this is the most important draft in Titans history. It's hard for me to get there, but look, it's an important draft. Every draft is important. And, you know, I mentioned it doesn't have the quarterback that you're going to take in there, Joe, but it does have the second-year quarterback that you got to find some way to support in there, right? So Mike Borgonzi, to this point, you know, still, all things considered, you're talking about one draft class to this point and now two free agent crops that he's brought in. So, you know, in the grand scheme of things, it's still not a huge body of work that we've seen from Mike Borgonzi. But we've seen, you know, not only those two time periods, we've seen him in the middle of the season last year move on from guys like Jarvis Brownlee and Roger McCreary, you know, Tavondre Sweat they move on from this offseason, bring in Jermaine Johnson. So there's a lot that goes into this picture. My question for Titans fans is, you know, where does your confidence currently stand with Mike Borgonzi as he is heading into the first round tonight, picking at number 4 overall? And, you know, you've got the new coaching staff coming in. There's a lot of layers to it. But I feel like, Joe, and this is just based on the response that we've gotten throughout the years, the last couple of years on the text line and the way things have gone to this point, I feel like Titans fans, for the most part, are pretty confident in Mike Borgonzi. There's obviously the fourth rounders that played pretty well last year offensively in DK and Io Manor and Gunnar Helm and what they were able to do. But the bottom line is, I think this is probably the fair way I would say it when it comes to the draft. A lot of it's going to be determined by how good or not good Cam Ward is, and the jury's still out on that. You have a second-round pick from a year ago that's shown nothing to this point in Femi Oladejo, and we'll see what he does this year. But I still think from a drafting standpoint, everybody was so quick to anoint Borgonzi last year because of how quickly the fourth rounders stepped on the field and at least helped you. And that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. But I still feel like there's a lot of information left to be gathered here on the Mike Borgonzi front.
Yeah, no question. I mean, look, some of it is just like is public. You know, someone texted, you know, like, where's Brinker? You know, and I'm like, well, that's been a good move for them to have him. Now, he's got his job, but he doesn't need to be at the press conference. We're like, Mike, you take this one. Like, just Borgonzi is picking the players. Borgonzi is now speaking for it. I think he comes off well. Now, I would also say Brian Callahan came off well, too, until he, you know, it basically showed us he doesn't know the rules of football. But you know, for the time period until like last season, you know, he was impressive in press conferences. Borgonzi seems a smart guy, seems to know what he's doing. He's made some good choices. Anybody who's out on Cam Ward, I think, is probably still out on him, right? Like any Titans fan who hated that pick, certainly we talked in this show, like it's just you're going to take a quarterback number one overall who is not would not be the number one quarterback in most years and was not widely considered the top prospect. You know, that's a huge risk. Wouldn't do it. They did it. If you're really against that, and of course most of the fan base, right, like, okay, well, this is our guy, so let's rally around him. But if you're still out on that, you're out on him. The Femi thing is definitely a big deal and how that turns out. You're going to have misses for sure. You just have to have more hits than misses. It's a huge draft. and probably, I don't know, not too far into next season, you're still going to have a pretty good idea of how good this draft is, you know? And then so then I think the answer on him, you know, it won't be long into next year where it's like, okay, either he really did stuff that helped this team. And you know what? All those Jets and Giants signings, even though, again, we could look at that and say how influenced was he by coaches, but all those Jets and Giants signings were actually, you know, a lot of them are not bad. But this text, I think, is a good one, Robbie, from an unnamed texter. Morganzi is the litmus test that lets me know I'm a sheep. After all the abusive relationships I've been in with J-Rob and Ran, I believe in Borgonzi explicitly. I trust in his process.
Okay. Hey, look. Like
people want to believe. You want to believe. People want to believe. And I get it. You should.
And there's a lot about, I mean, there's a lot about the way Borgonzi kind of handles himself, the press conferences. I mean, look, the bottom line is there's a limited amount of information that we or anybody else really have, right? Like, we're not working with Mike Borgonzi every day. We have no idea, you know, some of the conversations that they've had that have led to some of the decisions that they've made. So there's a limitation as to what we actually know about all this. And ultimately it's going to be determined by, you know, basically Cam Ward. Like, we can get into all the other stuff about, you know, is Femi Oladejo going to end up being a good player? You know, what do they do with the number 4 overall pick here? I mean, all those things are part of it, and it's important. But a Cam Ward's a total bust, and they're having to draft a quarterback here again in 2 years. That's probably not going to be very good for Mike Borgonzi. So, in some ways, it's just kind of as simple as that. Does Cam Ward work out, or does it not? But, like, I understand if you're a Titans fan, you've been wandering through the wilderness here the last few years. You want to believe. And I think they've made some good moves that have positioned themselves to be able to maybe start to build this thing here. But I think the bottom line is we don't know right now with Mike Borgonzi. And the more information that we're able to gather on him, the closer we're going to get to finding out here. But in some ways, Joe, I hate to boil it down this way, but I think it's all going to come back to Cam Ward. Is he good? Great. That means Mike Borgonzi is probably doing a good job and is going to be here. And if he's not, he's probably not going to be here to make the next quarterback selection.
Right. Now, if he were Indianapolis's GM, he still could be.
That's true.
So, you know, it depends on who you're working for in this league. Somehow, you're talking about, I don't know how many lives that guy has, Ballard in Indy, but he's been able to. I suppose, I don't know. If you're trying to predict Amy right now, you probably should default to fire. You're fired. You're just the next person is fired sooner than you would think. But if Borgonzi, if he builds, if he has a really good draft this draft, and some of these signings work out, and Afemi turns into at least a good player, and things like that. Winston, you hit on that, you know. Yeah, there's a lot. DK, it takes another step, and it's like, wow, what a pick in the fourth round. Well, if you do enough of that, then you might be able to move. You have another quarterback in your tenure, but that stuff has to be good enough to where you're winning enough. It's kind of like with Mariota. Like, the Titans were good, you know. They were good. They were a playoff team. He won a playoff game. They were a good team. They had an overall solid team that John Robinson had built. And so then – and, of course, he didn't pick Mariota. That's the difference. But, you know, you move on to the next quarterback. It works out great. Is it possible for Borgonzi to, you know, have that? We'll see. But that's where, like, this draft is so critical. I mean, if this doesn't yield immediate – like, if you stick and pick at 4, whoever that 4 is – before September's over, we should all be saying, oh my God, what a pick, right? Like, that, yeah. That has to be the case. And then obviously some of the other picks are really important, less so as you get deeper in the draft. And especially now, I mean, I think you're just going to see fewer sleepers in the 6th, 7th who come in and do stuff because the talent level has been diluted by college football there. But yeah, this draft is gigantic for him. I mean, Liam, I think this is probably a fair taste. There's a fine line between confidence and delusion. Not sure how any Titan fans could have legitimate confidence. I'll settle for hope. That's probably fair.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Your confidence level in Mike Borgonzi as we enter into his second draft tonight with number 4 overall coming up for the Tennessee Titans. We'll take more of your thoughts. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Ian Zafara is enjoying himself. I mean, if they do take Jeremiah Love, Joe, I mean, you could basically do this all summer. I mean, it's all songs are about is love. So
yeah.
It'd be a long time that Ian could run through this.
I think that's a great idea. We should compile like our top 200 songs with love in them. And we could find 200, I bet, right?
Oh, yeah. Yes. You could find more than 200.
Yeah.
I bet there are some Creed songs that talk about love.
I'd like you to play Pixies' La La Love You, please. Can you please play that?
Here we go.
Sure.
Here
we go. I'll take requests.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'll request line.
I'll take requests. Why not?
By the way, the YouTube chat is just like turned into like Scotty Scheffler ripping.
I'll be coming after Scotty Scheffler, man.
Yeah. I mean, people are talking about
like coming after a member of my family.
People are talking about like the footwork of golfers. And I'm like, dude, yeah. Get me out of this place. Calgon, take me away.
You love it. It's good stuff.
God.
I'm just saying, like, if you think Scotty Scheffler's a boring golfer, like, do you like watching good golf or do you not? Because I would argue if you like watching good golf, it's pretty fun to watch.
Let's get back to my feet. And to your point, people coming after Scotty is like people coming after Isaiah Thomas with me. So don't mess with
me. Don't be doing that.
Don't be doing
that.
I know better.
Josh says, I feel decent about Borgonzi, but my mom was told me Santa was in there. I'm not going to read the rest of that text message. We have children listening.
Meg, way to stop yourself.
I stopped myself.
Santa had a super long beard.
We've had someone get in trouble about that before.
Santa's beard is not as long as some people say it is. It's actually.
I'm going to start reading these text messages before I read.
Come on, Josh. Do you not understand? Like this audience is not just adults. That's why I say words like mother farter on it, okay? We have a mixed. We have children.
Jeez.
For fart's sake.
Keith says, if the Titans take Love, then Robbie gets ready for a lot of Beatles songs. Good Lord, well, they can't take Jeremiah Love now.
We do. The Beatles do have some. They've got some love songs. Now, beyond All You Need Is Love, they got some other ones, too.
That's true.
We'll play them all.
Yeah. Although, as somebody points out, I think if it's Styles, it's going to be a little bit more difficult to find. We found some, but I don't think you can go like more than a few days with Styles songs.
Yeah. And then
Bailey, we're out.
Yeah. Arvel. Are there any songs with Arvel in them?
I don't know. Don't think so.
Scrounging, man.
Oh, man. Nathan from Lawrenceburg says, if you're making the pick right now and Mendoza, Reese, and Bailey are off the board, who are you taking? Jeremiah Love. Like that's who I'm taking. But everybody says now he's going number three. Like everybody has got him going number three. And as much as I don't want to believe that, Joe, like that has to mean something, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, but like in some cases, it just depends on who's doing it. Like some of it gets into groupthink and people just copycatting people, right? I mean, there may be some of that, but yeah, it's overwhelming. And our guy Brugler has us final, has the final mock. It must be a great day for him, man.
Must be,
you know. Although now you got to start. Although we will be heavily awaiting the early, you know, first round mock for 2027 from Dane. But he's got the same thing, you know, and so it does seem to be widespread. But yeah, in that scenario, I'm with you. Take Love. If everybody's right and he's going three, and Bailey or Reese are there, then man, again, he thinks it's going to be Reese, but that one is a split. That's all over the place.
Yeah.
I think that to me is best case scenario. Dane Brugger has best case scenario for the Tennessee Titans, which is Reese is who the Jets like. Then you get Love out of the way. And I know some Titans fans listen to it like, no, please, I want the exciting offensive skill guy, and I get it. But if the Titans end up with David Bailey falling in their lap, I think that's just a great situation for them.
Well, and even, you know, we talk about immediate impact. And Jeremiah Love, everybody talks about that with the offense, and I get it. I think you'll have an immediate impact with the offense. But think about Bailey, not only just the individual skill, right? But it's also about if you take Bailey, you've got Bailey on the edge, you've got John Franklin Myers and Jeffrey Simmons up front, you've got Jermaine Johnson, who you just traded for, this offseason, like all of a sudden you start to look at the Titans front and it's pretty good. Like, if David Bailey is what you hope he is, right? Like, if Bailey immediately comes into the league, and that's what all these draft gurus and all these experts say about him, is like, he's ready to be a really good player in the NFL right now, like immediately. Well, if that's what he is and he comes into the league, just think about that front. If that's what he is, if John Franklin Myers is what he was last year, and if Jeffrey Simmons is close to what he was last year, that's a pretty darn good front that's gone from, you know, basically Jeffrey Simmons and a bunch of dudes last year to all of a sudden probably being the strength of your football team.
And then, yeah, then all of a sudden, oh, wow, the Femi guy can play. Imagine, you know, like, I mean, there's a scenario. And the thing is, man, if you have that, it really makes such a difference for your whole football team. It really does. First of all, obviously your back end, they all look better. And that there is nothing more important to a secondary than a quarterback who is uncomfortable, who has limited time and knows it, and hits the ground a fair amount. And then you have the makings of a defense that really can be a winning team's defense, and that is a help to Cam Ward, I promise you. And by the way, if they do that, this is a great idea. The theme song should be Eminence Front by The Who. What a jam, what a jam that is.
There you go. Let's head back. Josh invoked the name of Santa. We go now to Santa in Portland on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Santa, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Robbie, Joseph, it's always a pleasure to call in and talk to you, even if I'm not trolling Joe regarding Ashton Jetty.
There we go.
I heard my name. I'm not sure what that's about, but I do want to call in and ask a serious question about the draft. I think we all agree that edge is important to the Titans, and I'm starting to wonder just how important. If Reese and Bailey are gone, and it comes to Jeremiah Love is available, there are other edges that are probably going to go in the first round. Is it because they're just not as valuable as the first two, like these two kids from Miami, Bane and Mesidor? Is it just because Love is just so much better than the two of them that they would not take one of those guys? And I'll hang up and listen, and you guys have a good day.
Thank you, Santa. Appreciate it. Well, the interesting thing about that, Joe, is I would say yes. Like, if you're going by – you know, the way that the draft gurus have put it out there, and the way that I think a lot of teams feel. I mean, Jeremiah Love is a better prospect than, like, Reuben Bain, for instance. But what about the Titans? Like, did the Titans love Reuben Bain? Like, look, if you told me tonight, Joe, that Reuben Bain went, like, fifth to the Giants because the Giants absolutely love him, I've seen way crazier things happen in the NFL draft than Reuben Bain going, like, fifth to the Giants tonight.
Oh, absolutely. No, it's a good question, and then it gets into, you know, it gets into reaching for need, you know. So, and again, this is by how the draft analysts rank players, and of course they are going off reporting. They're going off their own evaluations, but they're also going off reporting, and then, you know, some of the reporting. I mean, I think the overall rankings of players, there's a pretty general consensus that's not like misinformation. The misinformation is the Cardinal, you know, whatever. Like, this team might do this, might do that. Oh, the Colts love Will Levis, you know, whatever. Yeah. But you know, there's still like any team could have very different rankings than these, right? Any individual team. We know the Raiders used to, because Mike Mayock took some wacky picks back in the day, and they didn't work out. So he wasn't very good at it, but, like, it is possible. I guess the answer to me is, like, you know, like, yeah, so you're sitting there and you're gonna take – the edges are gone. You know you need an edge. You're going to take Jeremiah Love. I would say take Jeremiah Love because I believe in BPA, best player available. While positional value also needs to be a factor. But, yeah, like, what if you took a Bane there and thought he can be an edge and he's going to be great? You know, the Mesidor, as Mark called in earlier. I mean, Mark said he's not a first round pick. Well, let me tell you something. Dane's got him going in the first half of the first round.
Yeah. So he's going to be a first round pick.
Yeah. He's going to be a first round pick. You know, how much? Then you just get into, like, okay, is that too much of a reach? you know, versus taking the running back who is definitely a higher rated player. These are all interesting discussions. And ultimately, what's going to happen is if, you know, pretty soon, really even by the end of next year, but it's in a couple years for sure, we'll know some of these players will end up being great. And everyone will be like, oh my God, like if only people knew, they would have taken Keldrick Faulk, number 3 overall. He's the best edge by far in this draft. The guy's insane, you know, for the Cowboys or whoever he's playing for. He's so much better than Bailey, these guys. How did they mess this up? That happens, and it will happen with some players in this draft who we all agree are this is how they are ranked, and then the reality will hit. And some of the reality will be about the fit and where they went and how that helped them be great.
We will continue to take your phone calls. Hang on the line with us. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. More coming up next on the NFL Draft. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Our football offseason coverage brought to you by Tennessee Brew Works, the official craft beer of football offseason coverage here on ESPN, 1025 The Game. We'll have the Rob Rant coming up here in a few minutes. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports will be with us at 8 o'clock. We're taking your thoughts on the NFL draft. Let's head back to our phone line. Welcome in Adam in Portland to the program. Adam, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
So I'm sure a lot of this is posturing, like you guys see it every single time. But do you remember Floyd telling a story about how in 95 the Jags tried to shake him down for a pick?
Yeah.
To jump two to three. Yeah. So everybody knew they were taking Baselli, but they're like, well, we're going to take your guy. We're going to take Mac. And they're like, screw you, buddy. Is that not the exact same thing that could be happening with the Cardinals right here? Like, well, we're going to take your running back. So I wouldn't flinch on this, man. Like, I don't think they're doing it at all. I think if it's not for the Titans, I think they're doing it for someone else. But I don't think they have interest in that running back at 3, dude. I still see us end up getting that. My prediction's been all along. I think we're going to figure out a way to get Bane. That would be my favorite ever. So if we could trade back and get Bane, but I don't think we're going to stick there and pick a running back.
Thank you, Adam. Appreciate it. Yeah, the Arizona stuff is going to be really interesting tonight. Like, if they're not able to trade back and they're on the clock at 3, do they actually take Jeremiah Love? That to me is going to be very, very intriguing to see whether or not that happens. Let's head back to our phone line. Welcome in Daryl to the program. Daryl, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hey guys, the prior caller mentioned Bane. When I think of Bane, you know, I remember previous shows in the recent past, there was a worry about his wingspan, his size of his arms, or his length.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a Dolphins fan, and I mean, look at Zach Thomas. I mean, he wasn't the fastest guy in the world. He didn't have the natural speed that Bane has. I just think Bane's going to be a great pro. I mean, a great edge rusher. And I think the Titans would be – they need more than a running back. They need to build that defense and get some, you know, other positions besides worrying about running back right now. But I'll hang up and listen. Go Titans.
Thank you, Daryl. Appreciate it. I mean, you're talking, you know, obviously two different time periods in the NFL, two different positions there, Joe.
Yeah.
But, the overall point is it's worth considering. Like, just because Reuben Bane's arms aren't the length that you want them to be, does the film not tell you that he's going to be a pretty good NFL player? Like, ultimately, isn't that what you have to come back to when you're evaluating these guys, is what does the film say about what they are?
By and large, yes. There's plenty of film of unbelievably great college players who did nothing in the NFL, though. And I'm not saying he will be that. But the film doesn't have him going up against the 6'7" monsters at tackle that he'll see in the NFL. He saw some of those guys. Yeah, he's such a fascinating test case. It'd be great to see him come in the league, play edge, be great, and debunk the idea that you with that wingspan you can't be a dedicated edge player who produces at a high level. Because, like, I think some teams are looking at him, and there's a lot of reporting to this effect that are like, yeah, we'll probably move him around, move him inside. Or whoever takes him will probably do that. Which, by the way, okay. You know, if he's going to wreck games.
I have no interest in that number four, though. I don't.
Yeah, well, so to me it's like you better be able to – like he better be able to play edge at least a lot, right? Like, again, moving a player around, everybody does that anyway.
Sure.
You know? But, yeah, that's the thing. So the history makes me a little – it's just like at four. It's like, man, that is a – I mean, it's not nothing. But like if I've said it many times, if they move down, or if I'm a team picking at, you know, whatever, nine, right around there, I don't hesitate. I think he's going to be a damn good football player. He had his strength and his power moves and everything, like that is going to translate. He's going to come in this league and he's going to beat people up front. And again, like, this is just whatever draft, whatever year it was. Our program was not on the air at that point, but like whatever year it was, like Aaron Donald went like what, late in the first round, right? And yeah. I'm not saying it's not the same thing as Bane. I mean he was a tackle, but like no one knew he was going to be what he became. But he was just such a powerful player with such quick feet, and he just dominated. And I'm not saying Reuben Bain's going to be him, but Reuben Bain is a guy who I think is going to make plays. And by the way, talked about Brugler's last episode, so. Here's a stunner for you. He has Reuben Bain going earlier than Sonny Styles.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
That'd be a stunner.
That's pretty wild. That would be.
I have not seen much of that at all.
By the way, going back to the 2014 NFL draft, which is when Aaron Donald was taken. It was 13th overall.
13. Okay. Okay.
Jadeveon Clowney was the number one pick that year.
Yeah. There you go.
Blake Bortles was taken third. The Titans picked 11th and took Taylor Lewan, which was a good pick, but he wasn't Aaron Donald, obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, Mike Evans went number 7 overall. Khalil Mack went number 5 overall. So there's some good players in there, but like, you know, Buffalo took Sammy Watkins at 4th overall. They'd probably go back and take to Aaron Donald. That'd be my guess.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. So you redraft that one and. I mean, Aaron Donald
obviously
he's
number
is
one.
Number one.
Yeah.
It's funny that Clowney is an example there. Now, Mack is an example of, there you go. How many edges that turn out great are correlated with high picks? There's another one. But yeah. Clowney is an example of, he was undisputed the number one pick. And where would he be drafted now? Where would Clowney go? He was a good player.
He's fine.
Second round pick? Third round pick?
Probably. Yeah. I mean, he'd probably be, end of the first round, early second round. Like, he's a good player, but he was, people kept playing. And it's not like it was just this play in college, but it does kind of show you that, just because you're so dominant in college doesn't always mean it's going to translate in the NFL. But people just played the play against Michigan over and over again leading up to the draft. It was like, this guy's a freak, right. And he's going number one overall.
Yeah, and certainly he did more than that. I mean, at South Carolina, there were times. But that is also – that's a thing. Like, the film is still film against college players. It's the best information of all the information. It's better than any of the testing and all that stuff. But it is still – there's a lot of guys in those cut-ups that won't sniff the NFL.
If I could just get Jadeveon to show up to practice, just imagine how good he'd be. Jadeveon, be good.
Oh, God. Those were good times. Spurrier just bitching to the media about him constantly.
Jadeveon's nowhere to be found out there. I can't find him, but he'll show up on game day. He'll be ready to go.
Justin in Smyrna says, Bane doesn't just have short arms, they're first percentile arms. First percentile? I assume you mean relative to edges? I mean, but like in terms of actual distance, it's not like it's what, a couple inches, right, from like standard?
I'm not even going to respond to this because I know Ian's back there clipping stuff as we stand, so.
What did I do? Oh, boy.
I'm working on other stuff, so I'll have to go back.
Have I walked into something else here?
I'm just going to leave this one alone. We got the Rob rant coming up next. Got Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports at 8 o'clock. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Rowe, 102.5 The Game.
Don't make me angry.
Sometimes you have to tell someone to pound sand.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
This is the Rob rant.
Now
on Robbie and Rex Rowe.
Boy, did that make me mad. It's farting ridiculous. Can't stand it.
Our latest criminal has made it in the building.
Apparently, it got pretty bad. Police had to get involved. He's bound and now Kahusky is on his way.
Oh, they better not take Levis.
Drake May's probably better than Will Levis.
Get out of here, Mayo boy.
I'm absolutely going Mason Rudolph over Drake May.
I will fart your world up.
Fart you, Kahusky.
I hate everybody.
I need video to confirm it wasn't him.
Oh, catch there. One stray pee-pee and...
I've got other words I can say, but I'm going to hold those off.
It is time for the Rob Rant, brought to you by Rapid Response Generators. Power when it matters most. Check them out at rapidresponsegenerators.com. We will have Charles Robinson coming up at 8 o'clock. A lot of stuff to get into with C-Rob. So looking forward to that. Or Charlie, as Joe Rexroad is now calling him. So looking forward to having Charlie
Chuck
on the show.
Chucky.
Chuck.
Yep. All kinds of ways you can go there.
So, Joe, I knew that this would probably get lost in the shuffle today because it's NFL draft day, but we got to bring this up at least for a few minutes. Alabama and Kalen DeBoer have agreed to a new 7-year contract that takes his money up to $12.5 million a year. It doubles his buyout, I guess, if he leaves Alabama within the next 3 years. And now he's a top five, you know, highest paid coach in college football, all those things. So I guess his original agreement, all it basically did was extended by 2 years, and now it ends in January, late January of 2033. So that's the contract now in place for Kalen DeBoer. I guess my question to you is, why was this necessary right now? Like, if you're Alabama, look at this. First off, it's April, it's mid-April when this is going on. So I would assume, I guess they've been working on this for a while and it finally nailed it down here. But like, if you're Alabama, I would call Kalen DeBoer to this point. I mean, it hasn't been a failure, but disappointing for sure, right? Like, you're talking about one of the blue bloods of college football and you've just gotten absolutely destroyed by Indiana in the college football playoff this past year. His first year didn't go very well. And there are a bunch of Alabama fans that I know that are looking at this and saying, huh? I'd probably like to see him get fired after next year, right? So, like, as one of the nation's premier college football experts, Joe, make this make sense to me. Why now? Why this move for Alabama and Kalen DeBoer?
College sports is so dumb, like I can't even put it into words. I loved our headline at The Athletic on this. Here's the headline. Kalen DeBoer, thought to be on hot seat, will now make more than Nick Saban at Alabama. That's a pretty good, that sums it up. $12.5 million, Saban made $11.1 in 2023. He was the highest paid coach in college football. The salaries continue to, everything goes up. Oh, we don't have enough money. Where's the money? Oh, let's just keep paying more and more for everything. There's no reason to do this. None. He's 18-8. He's 18-8 at Alabama. It's a disappointment. I'm not saying he should be. I'm not saying he should be like on the hot seat to be fired. But you know what? When they got smoked by Florida State last year, there are people talking about that. Like, this might actually be just a complete disaster. To his credit, they turned it around. But 18-8 at Alabama. Yeah. And it's we are not in the era anymore. Like when Philip Fulmer did this with Jeremy Pruitt, it was early, I think, in the 2020 season, right? I think that's right.
I believe that is correct.
And, back then it was still like, well, you're in recruiting. The recruits have got to see that the coach has like 5 years on the deal. Okay. I mean, there was worry. Of course there was worry. Ooh, will Bama steal Pruitt away? Maybe he can replace DeBoer, guys. But
think about that conversation that we had on this
show. Oh, we did. We weren't like on an island either. But like that was kind of the mindset back then. In today's college football, that doesn't exist. I mean, you're still recruiting people out of high school, and you want them to think your coach has security. But it's not like so much of the team building, obviously, is much more short term, and it's much more year to year.
And they don't care if that right now they can leave. If the coach leaves, they'll just hit the portal and go.
Exactly. So they're not stuck with that anyway. Like, this is insane to me. And Greg Byrne, this is a statement, quote, "We're pleased to extend Coach DeBoer and are proud to have him leading the Crimson Tide football program. He is an excellent coach and has done a commendable job developing our student athletes." Commendable. Here's $12.5 million. It's so dumb. So much of this universe of college sports is dumb. And every day there's a new headline that you're just like, what?
Yeah. Look, I, Kalen DeBoer, when he got hired at Alabama, I mean, obviously the resume is impressive, right? Like he's won everywhere that he's been. He did a great job at Washington. And I understand, you know, the excitement level from him. And he may end up being a good coach at Alabama. Like they could have, I mean, clearly they love their quarterback this year. They could end up going on a run and winning a national championship this year. I have no idea.
Then you do this.
But don't you need to see that, right? Like, I guess the timing of it is the biggest thing. It's like it makes no sense to do this right now. How about you see how this season goes and whether or not you want to fire him at the end of it, and then we can start talking about contract extensions. Like, it just – this is a – it's a pretty stupid move from Alabama, who has not made very many stupid moves in recent years past when it comes to coaching decisions.
So I'm trying to see here if and I'm sure there's not an if, there is some, but what the effect would be on the buyout, you know? Because again, if they lose a couple games early this year, that's what every Alabama fan will be doing. What is his buyout?
Yeah.
So you just I know Seth Emerson wrote this story for us, so he'll be getting the contract, and that information will be out there. It may be out there somewhere else. I don't know. But I assume there's some impact on the buyout, some increase in the buyout, which, again, you're just like – so you're just potentially lighting money on fire if it goes bad, and it could. It could go bad.
Yeah. I mean, by the way, look, they play Georgia again this year, and I know for whatever reason they seem to play well against Georgia. They got Tennessee on the road. They got LSU on the road. They got Vanderbilt on the road. They got Florida State again this year. Like, I mean, look, Alabama's going to be good this year, but it's not beyond the realm of possibility that they lose two or three games and are like right there on the razor's edge of making the playoff, right? So what if they don't? What if they don't make the playoff this year and you just sign with an extension? How do you think that's going to go over with Alabama fans?
Yeah, disaster.
ESPN is reporting the buyout will be $10 million through January 31st of 2027, and then the buyout decreases by $2 million after each of the next 2 years.
Okay. The buyout is not horrific, so good for you. The buyout's not terrible. There's still no reason to do this whatsoever. Quietly also, by the way, they announced Nate Oates gets an extension.
Yeah.
Nate Oates should get an extension. Nate Oates, pay him. Nate Oates has done things for Alabama basketball. I mean, Wimp Sanderson was a really good coach for a long time, but like Nate Oates has taken this program to a completely different level. So he's up to 6.3 million, and he'll get up to 7.25 by the end of the deal in the 2031-32 season. That one makes sense to me. Keep Nate Oates around. Other people want to hire him. Now, you know, North Carolina was like, yeah, and they sort of some things about him they didn't, you know, have any interest in, but. Still, like, that's a guy who a lot of other programs might want to hire away. Right now, I mean, I know, like, Michigan fans for a time last year were like, ooh, maybe Kalen DeBoer, maybe he just fits better at Michigan. But, you know, if he has another another four-loss year at Alabama, it's going to look real bad.
Yeah. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports will be with us coming up next for his weekly visit. We'll get his thoughts on the NFL draft coming up tonight and all things NFL. The Game Nashville Sports Network having live coverage of the NFL draft today from T-Line Nashville and tomorrow from Chicago's home of Chicken and Waffles. Coverage begins at 6 o'clock today on 102.5 The Game and tomorrow on Sports Talk 830, presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment, Pizona MD, Nelson's Greenbrier Distillery, Sealmaster, and Tri-State Water, Power, and Air Home Generators. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.